Robots Radio. Games, lore, stories, community. Just press play. Welcome to the Fallout Lorecast, the podcast that explores the boundaries of our knowledge about the world of Fallout.
Wastelanders and Vault Dwellers, welcome back. It is the end of October. It is spooky week. We've got Halloween as when we're recording this right now. Halloween is just a few nights away, and I have my patrons joining me this week to talk about some spooky stuff, a topic that gets kind of hit in very specific ways, but we're going to expand it out because we are talking this week about all the different types of horror that you can find across the Fallout series. And with me this week, I've got a wonderful cast, and guys, get ready to unmute and chime in with your best, spookiest sound you possibly can muster. Think about it. Think about what might be a spooky sound. And I'm just going to call everybody out. We've got Void and Pumpkin and Germinator, Ebony Kitty, Ash. I'm going to shorten that so it's easier to say. Lil Green, Adam's Child, St. Giub, and Leviathan. Welcome to the chat, everybody. On the count of three, get ready to unmute and make your spooky sounds. Here we go. One, two, three.
I can smell you.
That's awesome. I'm going to clip that and I'm going to put it on repeat on my front porch as trick-or-treaters come by and they're all going to be super terrified. But hey, everybody, welcome back. This is super fun. So we've got a list of different types of horror. And if there's something I'm missing on this list, feel free to chime in as we get going and be like, oh, what about this? But we're going to go topic by topic. And those of you who have something to say, something to add, a favorite way that they implemented this type of horror or one of their favorite little storylines or characters or whatever, feel free to chime in. And just off the top of our list so far, we've got Lovecraftian horror, body horror, folk horror, sci-fi horror, psychological horror, jump scares, liminal spaces. There's probably more than that, but we'll discover it as we go through the conversation. But let's kick this off. Let's start with the Lovecraftian stuff, because everybody loves creepy Lovecraftian horrors and those kinds of things. I can think of a few examples I've covered over the years, but I want to hear from you guys. Who would like to start me off? Start me off. That sounds really weird. Who would like to start us all off? That's also weird to say on this topic. Man, it's going sideways already. Who wants to talk about Lovecraftian horror? I know some of you absolutely love like the Dunwich Borers and that kind of stuff. Anybody want to chime in? Don't be shy. I see Pumpkin, maybe. Pumpkin? Oh, I see Ash.
I guess I'll bring it.
No, I saw Ash. Ash got to it before you did, Pumpkin. Ash beat you. Ash, let's talk about Lovecraftian horror. What do you think?
Honestly, I think, the Dunwich Borers or Dunwich Sewers, that entire, like... the Dunwich in general, that's and with the gosh, I can't talk tonight.
It's all right.
That one side quest in three with the book.
Yes.
But the whatever, I can't freaking pronounce it.
It's all right. But if somebody wants to chime in and help you out, feel free to
yes.
Get your back now. Sorry, so St. Jeb's got your back. What was that?
Thank you.
The Kriv Vecna.
Yes, that one. I couldn't remember the name of it. But like, you know, the different things that you can do with it, you can either like give it back to the lady or the guy, or you can take it and destroy it and just, yes.
Yes.
The Dunwich. Ugh.
Yeah. So let's talk Lovecraftian in general. Is this one of your favorite types of horror genres?
I'm honestly not a big fan of horror, but like, I can appreciate the aesthetics of it. But I'm like, one of my best friends is likes the Lovecraft stuff. So I know a decent amount about it. Okay. I'd say I like it by association.
Right. Yeah. There's something that's always fun about like the mysterious beyond, the things that boggle the mind, right? The weirdness of Lovecraftian horror and that sort of thing. St. Giub, do you want to chime in a little bit on this one? I feel like this, you jumped right in on this and you were like, I know exactly what she's talking about. Do you have thoughts on this one?
Oh, sure. I mean, I've been fascinated by like the Lovecraft, again, that kind of cosmic horror for probably going on 15 years now. It kind of fit right in because I spent many years watching like Carl Sagan's Cosmos and things like that. Mm-hmm. And that kind of like gives you like an almost idealized version of like what the universe looks like, but it never kind of delves deep into, oh, what are the horrors that might exist out there? And there's like, the obviously the fictionalized and things that Lovecraft kind of called like Cthulhu and all these demonic entities that like may exist out into the universe, but those are obviously a euphemism or a metaphor for just the utter kind of indifference the universe has for us, whether it be a black hole or, a supernova or something that could just extinguish life. So now very deeply fast applied it to the Fallout universe.
Okay, cool. Yeah, your voice broke up a little bit there, but I think we caught it all. Yeah, there's like an existential quality to it. This idea of the vastness and the nothingness out there being so all-consuming and terrifying, just in that concept, because again, it's mind-boggling, that sort of thing. And Ash, I didn't mean to just completely move on to Saint Giob. I just kind of wanted
Oh no,
to
that's totally fine.
to
That's
get
totally fine.
maybe
I
both of you feel free to chime in
sometimes,
on this. Yeah.
yes, sometimes I have trouble putting my thoughts into words. So
Yeah, me too.
yes,
Absolutely.
thank you.
If I were to live stream me editing and recording the podcast, I have more stops where I go, crap, nope, better, there's a better way to say that. And then I start recording again. So I do it all the time. That's the magic of editing. But yeah, let's, for both of you, is there something specific in Fallout that really hits you the hardest? Like the really spooked you out about Lovecraftian type of horror as presented in Fallout?
I think going into the Dunwich building for the first time and just that, like, something's off and you like, yeah, you run into all the ghouls and the ferals and everything that's in there. And then you get into that basement and that sub basement and that cave and you're like, oh, that's what's going on here.
Yeah, it feels different than just coming across other ghouls in the wild. It feels very staged and like, oh wait, no, this is driving me forward, and there's something being unveiled as I work my way through this. Yeah. Yeah, totally. Polar Mist joined us too. Welcome, Polar. Who else wants to chime in? Pumpkin, you had some thoughts?
So going into what's the scariest thing that reminds me? It's just knowing the fact that it exists. Like, it gives you enough to tell you that this is in the world, but you have no more info.
Yeah, right. Just a little bit to like make you go, wait, what is that? Yeah. I gotcha. All right. You have anything else to say on that, Pumpkin, or should we move on?
I fell down that rabbit hole a couple episodes back. If you remember, it was like the mysterious characters we were talking about. I remember falling down that rabbit hole. I won't go down that hole again.
Okay. All right. Who has other thoughts on Lovecraftian horror? Anybody else want to chime in on this one? No? Are we ready to move on to the next one? I mean, we've talked about Lovecraftian horror in Fallout pretty regularly. It comes up pretty regularly, and I've done some episodes on it. But one that we didn't talk about too much is body horror. And it's another one of the things that comes up, right? Like totally messed up mutations and that sort of thing. Ebony Kitty's got some thoughts on this. What do you think, Ebony?
So, body horror is my second favorite type of horror. The my most memory of body horror being in Fallout is going into the school in Fallout 3 for the very first time and seeing the bodies being mutilated by the raiders,
Oh, okay.
with them just like the body decor that they have. That and the master being just an amalgamation of flesh and other like voices and everything. It Fallout 1 especially was a horror game in disguise as a survival game.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting point to talk about the master and to say that body horror has been in the series from the very beginning. I mean, the main villain of the very first game, you actually get to see him, and he's this weird head, and his flesh is all strung out over top of the computer that he's a part of, and like it's super weird and messed up for sure. Void, was that your hand? Did you want to chime in?
Yeah, so body horror is one of my favorite types of horror. I hate the movies because I hate them. But body horror, especially in Fallout, I love. With the FEV and everything like that, you've got stuff like the super mutants, and especially the centaurs.
Yes.
Yeah. The centaurs are a big part of that body horror. And honestly, I'd like to see them brought back at some point. Especially with this Western expansion that we're getting in Fallout 76.
Yep, I see where you're going.
Burning Sands, is it? But with that, I would like to just more of the FEV, super mutants, centaurs, and I would
Snallygasters.
Even consider Snallygasters, yeah, mm-hmm. That's another big one, because they at one point were human. They do not look human.
right. Yeah, centaurs whatsoever. Too. Like, they have a torso, but then they've got like so many other human parts sticking out of them.
Right.
It's like, which one was the original one?
Recognizable as human.
Yeah.
But even I would even go so far as ghouls and scorched as body horror. Wendigos as well. Ebony Kitty saying in chat through the Zoom call.
The Grafton monster.
Yep. All Grafton everything, monster. Almost everything regarding the FEV, and considering even the Mothman, which is just a mutated moth that is in the shape of a man, basically. Like, a lot of that is just pure body horror, and I love it.
Nice.
Just anything you can say in Fallout would be considered body horror in some sort of regard.
Anything? I don't know if you say anything. But there's definitely a lot of, I mean, even super mutants on some level are body horror, right? Like, they're
extremely, yes.
Like, they are people who have been blown out into weird proportions.
Humans, yeah.
Right. And in they even lose any of their gender signaling other than just like muscle mass, which is usually a masculine trait, but like everything else is weird. So yeah, there's a lot of body horror across Fallout. And I, you know, it would be even more disturbing to see more of. When I think body horror, I don't just think the end result of the thing that got mutated or transformed into something, but the most disturbing parts, I think, and this is just me, of course, but is the transformation part. Like, that's like when you watch a movie that leans into body horror, it's usually the transformation from one thing to another and the agony that the creature goes through during the transformation. Like, that is usually part of the most disturbing part. Once it transforms, you're like, oh, God, that's terrifying. But it's the process of getting there. And I can't think of too much that we get. Like, we see like bodies in vats. We see labs with experiments, those kinds of things. Pumpkin? What do you think?
Vault 84, you get to see the failed transformations.
The failed transformations, right. Mm-hmm. Right. But the in-process transformations, like, that could be somewhere they go in the future to really, like, I don't know, make it feel even more disturbing.
Yeah, and I would even lean into the psyche of the people doing the experiments and watching that. Mm-hmm. Because they have to be some sort of sick in the head in order to just be able to watch that and not feel any remorse and just say, oh yeah, this is a scientific experiment.
Oh yeah. There's all sorts of, there's a lot of stories throughout Fallout where you get like the holotapes or like the, you know, the computer screen with like their notes about the experiment. And oftentimes you'll have somebody who's like totally into it and it doesn't affect them at all. And you have somebody else who's like really starting to question what we're doing here. You know, like that side of things. So yeah, there's some moments like that for sure. All right. Anyone else want to chime in on body horror? Anybody else? Leviathan, what do you think?
I don't know what you guys have, but I found them relatively cute.
Which ones?
Most of them. The master was relatively cute. And those centaur beasts, I never played free, but from what I saw on the internet, they were relatively cute.
Yeah, in New Vegas, seeing them walk around with their, like, funny limbs and their weird tongue and, like, I mean, I guess, you know, when I think about cute, the Grafton monster is kind of cute. It reminds me of the Marvin Martian cartoons and the big furry monster. You remember that? The big furry monster? Yes.
I'm too young to have seen them when they came out, but I've seen them later.
Yeah, yeah, those were, like, 1940s. Is that his name?
I think it's Garcimel, yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's what that always reminds me of. It's just not furry, right? Like, that guy was furry. But yeah, I think that was like 1940s or something. So I don't think any of us were around back then. But yeah, like, cool stuff. Jeb, you have other thoughts?
I'm trying to remember the name of the vault, which vault it was, but I remember from Fallout 4. Wasn't it one of them where they were con it was the one where they had like the pink goo, it was underneath the school. And if correct me if I'm wrong, but they were converting base people into basically m food for people to eat, which I in my own mind I kind of see that as a form of body horror where it's like a Soylent Green kind of situation where you're just recycling people and just force feeding them back to each other. If you told people like, oh, that's what you're actually eating, that would horrify me. I don't think I could live with myself that I was eating like neighbors.
Yeah, but what if it was delicious?
Well, okay, well, hey, look, you put a little, you put a little salsa on it, maybe deep fry it, and then we'll talk
I mean,
again,
anything fried is good, right?
Exactly. Serve up the county fair, and I think we might make something happen.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. All right, time to move on to something else, unless anybody else has any thoughts on body horror. I think we've covered this one pretty well. All right, let's move on to folk horror. And the example of this was like, I mean, the Mothman would be an example of this, right? Cryptids, that sort of thing. Old folk tales that come to life. Anybody have any thoughts on these? Do you, a lot of this, a lot of when I think of cryptids, that's like Fallout 76. It was added much more recently compared to a lot of the other series. Pumpkin?
I just gotta say, praise Mothman. That's
Praise
it.
the Mothman. Yeah, I
No,
think.
but I think the folk horror is awesome. Like, 'cause, and it's not just like in, I mean, it's mainly seen in 76, but you see it a lot in a lot of other places. But 76 is the main one where you see a bunch of like the stories about all of the different cryptids. And I think one of the best ones that I could probably talk about is Indrid Cold, who is a random encounter.
Yes.
And talks he even talks about all the other ones.
Right.
And
Yeah.
Indrid Cold is actually I recommend the book The Mothman Prophecies mainly follows storyline of Indrid Cold.
Right.
So
Right. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
more information on that, I'd recommend reading that.
Yeah, I had Dave Chaffins talking about that on an episode a while back. And yeah, that's always good stuff. Ebony Kitty, what do you think?
You technically have folk horror in Fallout 3 with the Pintside Slasher
Oh.
because it was an urban myth that was around before the bombs dropped, and it wasn't until you go into the simulation that you get to play the Pintside Slasher out.
I
And
can
then
hear
walk
whoever's in the background talking, and
sorry.
it's okay. It's just it's a little distracting. But yeah, I get your point though. Like this idea of like this was an old tale, and they like this is now playing out. That's kind of similar to what was the mansion that's like the Winchester Mansion in Nuka World. I did an episode on it.
Grandchester.
Grandchester, that was the name of it. Yeah, same kind of thing, right? Like this idea of an old story about a little creepy girl, and now she's a ghost, and it's this weird mansion, and it's laid out all funny, right? Kitty, you can continue to talk. I just wanted to note that we could hear stuff in the background.
No, that was my point. Besides the swamp people
Swamp
in Point
people.
Lookout.
Yeah, that's another one. That's a good one. I hadn't thought about that. Yeah, swamp people, super creepy, but it kind of borders on Lovecraftian because you've got like stories from Lovecraft where like the people in the bayou and the weird stuff going on there, that's a kind of a blend of the two. A little bit of folk, a little bit of Lovecraft. When you guys think folk horror, is there anything else in the series that pops out at you?
The oh God, the survivalist, the how the people look at the survivalist from Honest Hearts.
Okay. Yeah.
Even
Yeah,
though that's
yeah.
not horror, it's still like it's a folk thing.
The
When
folk
as the
tales.
pe for the people, that's horrifying. For the survivalist, he's helping, but the people, that's
Right.
horrifying.
Right. Like this mysterious
And
stranger who
actually,
shows up
the
and yeah.
scary, in my opinion, I would do the quest about the Yaogwai bear, the specific one for to get the Yaogwai glove. I can't remember the name.
Yeah, what was the name of the bear?
It like she, I think?
Yeah. Oh crap. I forget names so
That's
easily.
horrifying because like you're just walking through the desert and you're fighting off hordes of Yaogwais.
Yeah. And there's Yaogwai. There's also, I mean, there's other cryptids, but there's of course. Oh, what was the name? The name of the real long, skinny, long guys in 76. I can't think of what they're called.
Wendigos.
Wendigos. Yeah. Wendigos. That's the word. Yeah. Wendigos. And there's like that. There's like the one story about the guy who turns into the Wendigo in the cave. There's that whole thing. Yeah.
Wendigo, right. Colossus.
Oh, the Colossus? The big one? Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if that one, I mean, it does play Earl. Off of the Earl. Yeah. Right, it plays Earl. Off of the Wendigo thing. That's another one of those that like it plays off of the full core of Wendigos, but then also brings in body horror. I guess Wendigos by default have a little bit of body horror associated, but it like turns it up to 11, right? With the big monster looking dude. Yeah. That's another good one. Any other full core thoughts? Just the ghost story type stuff too, but same.
I mean,
go probably ahead. I suppose go into like the Salem kind of area in Fallout 4 when you actually go to like that old that old church and like obviously the death claws inside, but you go through and you realize the heritage of like Salem, you know, Massachusetts and what went on there. That definitely is like a folk horror, even though it doesn't turn out to be a witch, it turns out to be a death claw. That still invokes the same kind of fear that people probably had when it comes to like the folk, you know, mystery and the tales you'd hear about that area.
Yeah. The witch trials and all of that. The mystery around that era. And on top of it, when you think back to the founding of the country and how much land wasn't settled. And so for the colonists to be showing up in the middle of a place where they have no idea what is out there in the dark it kind of harkens back to that kind of feeling, which is pretty cool. Yeah.
There's the event Campfire Stories, which literally tells you the story of how the Wendigo you fight at the end of the event turns into the Wendigo.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Would the Mysterious Stranger count as folk horror?
Maybe.
Because there are rumors throughout the U.S. of him appearing in multiple places at once.
Maybe. I think it plays off of similar kinds of concepts that do show up in folk horror, even if it isn't a specific one, but it's that same kind of thing. Yeah.
Unless it would be more counted out toward the Cthulhu guy.
Lovecraft. And it would be more cosmic than Lovecraft. Yeah. Even though those kind of blend in the same thing.
Yeah, there's these boundaries where I think we're starting to discover that there's these boundaries where they kind of cross over.
The Mysterious Stranger himself kind of blends a ton of them.
yeah. A Germinator, I saw your hand come up. What, you wanted to add something, right?
Yeah. What about the Wild West Wasteland perk? Where does that fall into place? Because that brings in some very weird things in some places.
It does. I mean, we'll get to the alien stuff. That's part of it. But some ghost stuff. I'm trying to think of all the Wild Wasteland stuff that does show up while you're there. There are some weird, like weird oddities that do show up from that. If anybody has any more thoughts on that aren't coming to mind right now, feel free to chime in.
Honestly, I was going to say, I'm glad someone else had said it, but honestly, like the Zaytans, like the aliens, I can't think of anything more like, honestly, in living in America, the idea of like UFO things. And I think that's perfectly fits into the idea of folklore.
Yeah.
And anywhere you go in the U.S., there's some story being abducted by aliens, at least in my experience, there has been.
Yeah. So for some reason, your audio keeps cutting out. I wonder if it'll be better if you turn off the video, if you'll get more bandwidth for your audio that way. Yep. But we're catching most of that. Basically, you're saying stories of aliens and abductions specifically and weird sightings and things like that play into the folklore of a lot of different locations across the U.S. Heck, I mean, you could even talk about what's it called? The site out in, what is it, Nevada, New Mexico?
Roswell?
Roswell. I mean, that was 1947 or whatever.
Mexico, yeah.
So 1947, but it's now part of our, you know, kind of folk story consciousness. Like, was it a weather balloon? Was it an alien? Who knows? That kind of thing. So, yeah. So let's transition into that. Let's transition into the sci-fi horror. I think primarily, for me, the sci-fi horror in Fallout is the Zaytans, and the fact that that was just being hinted at for so long. It was kind of this Easter egg thing of like, oh, there's a crashed spaceship, or maybe you can find a laser pistol or the bodies in, you know, one or two, like that kind of thing. But then when you get to Mothership Zeta, like you're on a freaking ship and you get to actually see them. But some of what we find out is that they've been abducting people for centuries, and that opens up a whole nother can of like horror, like the nature of what would it be like to not just be abducted by them, but to be like contained and displaced in time by several hundred years? That's kind of its own thing, right? Anybody have thoughts on this one? Pumpkin's ready to chime in again. Go ahead.
I had, and this isn't really Zaytan sci-fi. This is, I think robo brains are horrifying.
Yes. Okay. So that's like sci-fi.
The human brain in a robot.
Right. Right. That's like a sci-fi body horror existential issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not a fun thought for me.
Right. Right. And the fact that, okay, here's what's most terrifying to me about robo brains is not the idea that like somebody of their own volition is going, I'm getting old, my body's falling apart, I'm going to take my brain, I'm going to put it in a machine so I can live on longer inside this machine, right? And they're just okay with that. It's the idea that in some locations in Fallout, you have manufacturing centers that have robo brain type machines that are running the machinery. They're using brains as ways to do manufacturing. That seems even more terrifying. Adam's Child, what do you think?
Well, you talking about the robo brains and their constant existence, even some going as far as living several hundred years, it makes me think of Nuka World and the CEO of Nuka Cola, who is forever a robo brain, I guess, trapped in one location, an enclosed space, forever until you find him, and you are given the option to either continue his suffering or end it.
Right, right. It's almost similar to House. I mean, House's body is basically useless by the time we meet him. He's just kind of stuck in this, like, machine keeping him alive. But is that really that different than a robo-brain kind of, end of Nuka-Cola kind of thing? On some level, if your body's not able to do anything, it's not really even that different. Do you guys find that terrifying compared to some of the other things that we've talked about? I see some nodding. I see nodding. Our audio listeners are going to be like, I don't know how they responded, but
I feel like that concept does terrify me, because from most of the times, like you were mentioning, like becoming a robo brain is not the person's choice.
Right.
And like, there's also the fact that I think in some instances, like they try and wipe the subject's brain.
Oh yeah.
And so it's just like, will there be a time where like that, maybe that fails and you wake up and you're that, and it's just like there's nothing that you could do. So
yeah. Yeah.
It's just terrifying. The things like just like something that was thought of for this universe.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I
would like to combat you a little bit, just a little.
Please do.
There were multiple.
Are you going to attack him? Like, I'm kidding.
Yes, I'm going to come to where he lives and attack him.
Pistols at noon.
I think it's like one vault. I don't remember which game, but it's an entire vault of all robo brains because they were all rich pricks, basically, for lack of a better word,
okay,
that just wanted to live forever. Vault 4, is that what Pumpkin's telling me? Or are there only four?
Fallout 4, Far Harbor.
Okay.
Wow.
So
thanks, Pumpkin.
But a bunch of rich people just wanted to become robot brains and live forever in this lavish vault, and so they did that. I don't remember what else I was gonna say.
It's okay. That's cool.
If it comes back to me, I'll get into it.
you'll get on
to that, because there's another vault from the early games of nothing but brains in jars who were supposed to be all the rich people, not rich people, all the smart people that went insane.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a number of different brains removed from their bodies showing up. The TV show even has it, right?
What I'm getting at is, don't remove your brain from your body.
keep your brain in your body, please. Thank you.
Because I think the other thing that would terrify me, if I found how long am I going to live for? That's the thing.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing, is like, it's just like, I'm like, it's like the being stuck. And also, I just saw Ebony Kinney and the chat saying, like, what if you're moving around, like you're actually like have some freedom, and like you break down in the middle of nowhere,
right?
So it's just like,
Right.
Just the things you don't want to think about.
Yeah. Plus, your brain continues to age, even if your body is exactly. The rest of the body isn't there.
So, like, yeah. Like, what happens when like the robot keeps you alive, but your brain is failing?
Yeah. Yeah. Adam Stroud, I saw that you wanted to respond earlier, and then I saw Leviathan. So let's jump to you, and then Leviathan.
Yeah. So when we were talking earlier about the robot brains and them unconsensually having their brains put into a robot, it reminded me of synths, because the Institute unconsensually took people's brains, minds, memories, personalities out of who they were and into a body that they are now wondering if they are unfamiliar with it.
Right, like copied them into a synth body, and are they still the same person or are they not? Like the whole Nick Valentine story, all of that stuff. Yeah, yeah, that's its own other sort of horror. It's like your own personality thing gets pulled out. Is that still you, even though it's not attached to any of your original organs, your brain, any of that stuff? I don't know. Leviathan, what do you think?
I think the terrifying part is not having your mind wiped, because if your mind gets wiped, it's just gone. The terrifying part is if it's only half wiped, this meaning you're still there, but you have zero control over your body. You're just there, seeing what happens and being a co-pilot in your own life.
Yeah.
Incapable of ending it, ending your own life, killing yourself, or just, doing anything.
Right, right. It's like the worst prison ever.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. No, this is all very, very, very terrifying. Any other thoughts on this? This one got a lot of traction. You guys seem really into brains being removed from bodies and loss of control of yourself. All right, let's move on. We've got a few others. Psychological, I mean, this plays into psychological horror, but they're like the big example of psychological horror is the majority of vaults that exist are doing something that psychologically is tormenting somebody in the vault, if not the entire vault. I mean, we could go through the whole list of vaults, but we don't have all night. But is there anything specific about the psychological horror in Fallout that you guys want to talk about? Adam Stroud?
This was the category I was waiting for. So all of Far Harbor, literally, you have three groups and they are all dealing with a existential crisis. You have the fog, which that children of Adam worship and want to use it for destruction. So you're constantly in fear of being blown up by their base, which is an option. You have the harbormen, who are constantly in fear of that. And then you have Arcadia, who are constantly in that crisis of who am I? And even Dima, he was so caught up in a crisis that he erased his own memories and hid them from himself so he didn't have that burden of the mental strain.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So not just in vaults, but in locations like that. In fact, a lot of the DLC locations have some form of psychological trauma happening somewhere. I think you could call that for sure. Polar Mist, you jumped in a little bit late. I want to make sure you get a chance to chime in here. Do you have any thoughts about psychological horror or anything else that we've covered so far?
So with the psychological horror, honestly, thinking about it, I feel like Diamond City, because you're living constantly being told your neighbors are synths.
Yeah.
And like just that fear of not knowing if your wife, your sister, your daughter, like any of them could just be a synth and you'd never know. Like that would be terrifying to be stuck in a situation like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you have no way to know for sure. I mean, it harkens back to, I don't know, things like the communist panic in the United States in the 1950s, like your neighbor could be a communist and you'll never know, you know, like that kind of thing, pitting people against each other. And I mean, heck, you can even say we're going through some of that today. But yeah, that's definitely part of it. Germinator, do you have thoughts?
Yeah. Also wanted to point out that you also have a couple of vaults that are a combination of body horror, psychological horror, and what else do we have? folk horror as well as Lovecraftian horror. I mean, just look at Vault 22 in New Vegas.
Yeah, remind us about what that one is, because I don't keep a running tally of all the numbers and which one coincides with which. So what happened in 22?
Vault 22 was the one where they had those elections, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yes.
And that was 11.
Was it 11?
11 had the election.
There you go.
22 had Pumpkin, the plant.
Right. Pumpkin's my go-to guy whenever I need to know what number coincides with which, because I don't keep a running list in my head. But yeah, the whole election thing. Yeah. Like, who do you trust? And yeah. What, you know, like, yes, absolutely.
But yes, also Vault 22 with the plants.
Plants too.
That was that gave me a couple of jump scares when I first played it a decade and a half ago.
That was certainly not my favorite place to go to.
yeah, jump scares are another piece of this, but we'll get to that in a minute. So, real quick to throw my own thing in here, and I'll get back to you, Lil Green. I think that there's, even outside of the vaults, even just living in the wasteland, the idea that like a raider gang could just come up to your camp, your farm, whatever, and no morals, will do whatever they want to you, and if you've got your trusty shotgun and maybe a dog, and maybe your neighbors show up, and if you can't fend them off, good luck. I mean, there's just something psychological about like this idea that not just the world is dangerous, but other human beings have that much potential for causing terrible things to happen, and they could just be out there somewhere, you know, like that's just terrifying. But go ahead, Lil Green.
I think the one vault that like kind of sticks out of my mind, like I don't know if we consider it canon or not, is the puppet vault.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
But yeah. It's just like, how diabolical is it? Just like, you know what? This guy's going to be here for the rest of his life. Let's let him lose his mind with a box full of puppets.
Right.
And it's just like, why? Like, who would even think of that? But yeah, it's, but also like just piggybacking off of like the world, and like it's just like the world and the people is just like it's hard to wrap your mind around how bad people can be, I guess.
Yeah. And what's even crazier about all of that is that we have plenty, and I always draw connections in Fallout to real world stuff because it makes it feel real. There are very many real world situations where terrible things that happen in Fallout have happened in real life. Mass murder, all sorts of terrible, like horrible things. We don't have to go through the whole list. I love it when we have sponsors that I absolutely adore. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. Here's a great example. The Retro Games Coding Advent Calendar. This is perfect for the holidays. It's actually something we bought for my son just a few years back. And every day, you open up another piece of a circuit board and learn how to plug these things together in order to solve puzzles. It's one of the most fun and unique little gifts I've ever bought for anybody. And they have so many more things like this on the website. And not just for kids. Moms, dads, teens, book lovers, history buffs, football fans, foodies, mixologists, gardeners, there's something for everybody, and they have such a fun collection of things. Why? Because these are independent artists, small businesses, people handcrafting stuff. It's not just the same old things you find everywhere else. It's really, really cool. Plus, with every purchase, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated over $3 million to date. So start shopping early, have fun, cross some names off your list, get 15% off your next gift, and go to uncommongoods.com/falloutlore. That's uncommongoods.com/falloutlore for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary. We just had the best weekend. My daughter came and visited, and I wanted to have an experience that everybody would have a blast with and remember for a long time. So I loaded up the I Expect You to Die trilogy on our MetaQuest 3 VR headset, and oh my gosh, we had so much fun. And you might be thinking, I Expect You to Die, wait, what does that mean? Well, imagine being a retro spy in a world that's trying to murder you on every mission, and you have to
figure out how to get through the puzzles, how to not get shot by lasers, how to launch a car out of the back of an airplane. That is the first thing you do in the first game, and my son was able to complete that quest. Later on, when we got to the third game, we were setting off explosives in an underwater base. We used Chromecast to project it up on the TV, and we all played together. One person would put the headset on, and they'd look around, and they'd try to figure out the puzzles, while the rest of us would say, well, look over there, and what did that note say? And we figured it all out. It was like having an escape room in our living room for the entire weekend. We'd take breaks and go out for dinner, and then we'd get home, and I'd say, what do you guys want to do? And they're like, let's play more of I Expect You to Die. And I was like, holy crap, this is so much fun. Oh, and believe me, they died, but they also figured out the puzzles. And the settings and the characters were hilarious and really well done. There's like a storyline that goes from the first game to the second game and then to the third, and you're Agent Phoenix and they keep trying to kill you, but you keep coming back. It's such a great time. And I've been a fan of this game for a while. This was just my first opportunity to play it with her and everybody in the house at the same time. But what's really cool is that they're sponsoring the podcast, and they've decided to give our listeners, for the next 60 days, 45% off with the code you can use on your MetaQuest account. Put in Fallout Rising, capital F, Fallout, capital R, Rising, all one word, -8904FC. Again, capital F, Fallout, capital R, Rising, -8904, capital F, capital C. 45% off this amazing experience. It's not even just a game, it's an experience. Go pick it up, and if you can't remember the code, it'll be in the description, so don't worry. Oh, and believe me, I expect you to die, and have an awesome time doing it.
Ash has some thoughts. What do you think, Ash?
You know, talking of vaults that, like, terrify people, the one that personally terrifies me the most, just thinking about it, is the one where it's one woman and like 99 men or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, as a woman, that legitimately terrifies me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the flip side is just as terrifying. I mean, oh, yeah. Both of the scenarios are no good. Yeah. Yeah. And on top of it, like, you would be necessary for the survival of your vault, and nobody can identify with you on the same way, on the same level, because you're the only one of your gender. And like, there's just, you know, or sex, like it. Oh my God. Yeah, no, that would be absolutely terrifying. 100%. Adam Starl, I don't know what to call you for short names yet. Adam call feels like it's the want. Name Adam instead of Atom, but go ahead.
Anyway, I just really quickly wanted to put this in there. I can't believe, out of all the vaults and thinking about psychological horror, we haven't even brushed on the virtual vault where everyone's stuck in the dreamscape with the dictator that is constantly torturing and killing them over and over and over again, erasing their memories and doing it all over again until eternity.
Yes, terrifying. Terrifying stuff, for sure. What vault was that, Pumpkin? He's putting fingers up.
112, I'm pretty sure.
There you go.
Nova knows that one better than me, so.
Is that because you are Stanislaus Braun and you're the
Nova knows that vault way better than I do, so.
Okay. Yeah, where's Nova tonight? Where's Nova? Cool. All right, let's move on. We got a few more things to talk about. We've got jump scares. I thought this was interesting because it is a type of horror, a jump scare, right? It's something that's very, very used in video games and movies to really, like, get you when you're not expecting something, or even when you are expecting something. Sometimes that's even worse. Are there specific jump scares in Fallout that you can think of? Pumpkin, is that a two for Vault 2?
No. I have any Deathclaw, really.
Anytime you come across a Deathclaw.
At least three in New Vegas. They scared me more than four and 76s did.
Yeah, those models because, are somehow a little bit creepier.
Yeah, they were creepier, and they could just come out of nowhere. No music would be playing, and you just hear chunk, 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 chunk.
Yeah. Leviathan, what do you think?
One kind of horror that I can't handle, jump scares. Fallout 4 ghouls, and in the Witch's Museum in Fallout 4, the Deathclaw.
Yeah.
Not the Deathclaw itself, but the fact that you're walking through the corridors and behind every last corner, you expect it to jump you. every last time.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And the way the ghouls will just like throw themselves at you sometimes.
Precisely this.
Yeah. Ash, what do you think?
The very first time that I played Fallout 4 and you get to, was it Concord? Is it Concord? With the Museum of Freedom.
Okay.
And you get the minigun and you jump down, you get all the raiders, and then boom, just out of the friggin' sewers comes that Deathclaw. I almost crap my pants.
It's a great moment.
And then you're expecting it.
Yeah.
The next time you play, you restart, and then you're expecting it, but sometimes it still gets you.
Yeah.
Sometimes you forget.
Some people have criticized Fallout 4 because they give you a, you know, power armor and a Deathclaw incident right there, right at the beginning of the game, if you go that route. But I think it was actually really smart because it tells you, hey, there's really cool stuff you can find in this world. This one's limited. You're probably not going to be able to use it very long. Also, there's things that are unexpected and you never know what's going to happen because the Deathclaw just came out of the ground. And so that makes you question everything from that moment on. And I think that was really, really smart. So that's my thoughts on that one. Yeah, that's a good one.
I've got one more.
Hold on. Saint G up has his hands up first. So we're going to go to him first.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd say probably in Vault 87, actually in Fallout 3, when you're coming out with the Gek and all of a sudden the Enclave ambushes you. I'd say that's probably one of the earliest examples.
I remember,
like a jump scare. I did not completely expect it, and they just completely wipe you out and take you away. I'd say that's probably the classic example of a jump scare.
Right. And it was kind of like a plot thing, too. So you weren't expecting that to just like happen. Yes, absolutely. I thought that was cool. Pumpkin?
Any raider with a Batman?
Or the super mutants in 4 that run at you with the ticking bombs? Yeah.
That's not much of a jump scare. That's psychological.
Yeah.
But a raider with a fat man, you can just be walking and next thing you know, boom.
Big explosion.
Any scorched with the M82 40mm grenade launcher? Like, for the love of Christ.
This is haunting you in your dreams.
Yes, daily.
I did not know those suicide super mutants existed the first time I played. That thing popped up from behind me. I died without warning.
Right, yeah. The first time you come across them is terrifying. Polar Mist has a hand up. What do you think?
Honestly, the first time I encountered a super mutant with the mini nuke, I just heard the ticking, like the chime from the mini nuke, and I turn around and I'm just dead. And it took me so off guard. I had to take a minute. Super mutants with mini nukes are freaking terrifying.
Yeah, kamikaze super mutants. I think that was another one of those genius things they added to 4 because that was great. Low green.
So that mine for that sticks out to me the most is in 4, the first time I saw the Myrler Queen and just coming up out of the water, and I'm just like, that is the biggest thing I've fought yet in any of these games. I'm like, yeah, because like, I mean, like the super mutant Goliaths, I mean, yeah, they're big, they're slow, so like they're easier to deal with, but like that thing is. That, I'm not expecting that.
Yeah,
so.
You put some bullets into it, and you're like, "That's all. That's
oh, that's like, nothing."
I'm just tickling
here for a while.
I don't have enough ammunition for that.
right. Yeah. Fortunately, you can just kind of run away. But yes.
Yeah.
But the idea of like, and I had a similar experience where I was like, I have to go back. I have to kill this thing, but I'm going to come back prepared. So I'll just take a minute on that one. Jump scares, the psychological horror of the jump scare, or the thing running at you with the ticking bomb, all of that, also very, very cool. All right, final one, because we're getting close to the end of the episode here. Liminal spaces. And Pumpkin, you added this to our list. What do you think about this one?
The only one that I don't think really had it was Fallout 4, because like Fallout 4 was very, like, there's a lot of things going on there. But Fallout 3 New Vegas and early 76, I would say, would be very liminal, which is, to those listening, it is a space that looks out of place.
Well, it feels familiar place, and foreign at the same time.
It feels familiar and foreign. It's a place, and places that you'd think, oh, this, there should be people here, but there aren't.
Right.
It feels like there's like it's been not lived in, but like used, like a lot of people use it, but there's nobody around.
Right. Yes. Early 76 did feel like that because there wasn't anybody else around unless you ran across another player. Void?
If I can click the button.
You found it.
The mannequins.
Oh.
They're everywhere. They look like people. They look like they should be people. But there's no one around them.
Right.
And nobody to position them in these particular spaces. This could also count as supernatural.
Yeah, because...
Supernatural or cosmic.
Right.
Because my firm belief with these mannequins is that at some point in the future, they're going to turn into the Weeping Angels from Doctor Who.
Yeah, right. Like they move and they follow you when you're not looking. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. How many times did you see like a mannequin in the distance when you're in a creepy situation and just shot it? And we're like, oh, wait, that wasn't...
Every
that
time.
Wasn't, yeah, right.
Every time. It's like yeah. I Am Legend when the mannequin is just out in the street and he's like, if you're real, you better let me know right now.
Yeah, yeah. Ash, we've got a few people raising their hands. Let's go to Ash. What do you think?
First of all, I think you might be thinking the Autons. Those were the mannequins in Doctor Who that would kind of move around.
No, I'm talking about the Weeping Angels.
Yeah, but
I'm talking about the mannequins. They're both creepy. Into the Weeping
Angels. Yeah, they're both creepy in similar ways. Yeah,
I know.
They're very creepy in similar ways, but they don't do that.
Right.
I understand.
Yeah, Jeremy's just getting at like he's expecting the Fallout mannequins to turn into the Weeping Angels.
Exactly.
Anyway, and. Darn it, I lost my train. No, I have it. From the perspective of like the player character in game, walking back into Sanctuary for the first time after coming out of the vault, like just imagine what Nate or Nora are thinking in that moment. Like, no, there should be people here.
Yeah.
This we lived here. This was a place that was lived in. So, yeah, just like from their perspective, walking back into Sanctuary for the first time after coming out of the vault.
Right, right. And the whole rest of the world, even after that, places that they would have been found familiar, but looked similar yet so different at the same time. Yeah, yeah. Leviathan?
First of all, I think all of us put more bullets into those things than in actual monsters.
Probably.
And second, this is half this theme. If you enter a room or an open space and you see a save point, munition, and healing packs,
yeah,
it terrifies every last one of us because we know what it means.
Yeah, yeah, the typical video game trope of like, oh, they're preparing me for something. Yep.
And then nothing happens.
Yeah, yeah, so sometimes.
I've thought about like what could be good examples of like in Fallout specifically, what could this be? And one of them does actually come from 4, even though I said not a lot, like Fallout 4 doesn't have a lot. It's the, there's a little like cul-de-sac that you can find that was told you, and by a line from Preston, you learn there used to be a settlement here. What happened to it?
Mm.
And it's, there's just all the, when you first enter the town, all you see are two Yaoguais. That's all you see. Everything else is just abandoned until you find the last house where there's ghouls, but that still doesn't explain
right.
What happened.
Right, right. That mystery.
But my whole thing is like it's empty. There's no one around.
Yeah, yeah.
And there is a mod for New Vegas that actually adds the back rooms. I definitely recommend checking it out. Oh. I don't remember the name of it, but yeah.
Oh, New Vegas back rooms. All right, St. Giub has the hand up. What do you think?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I guess my go-to for this would probably be Nipton. And the reason being is that even though, yes, there are people there, what's going on when you visit it, it's so kind of divorced from the reality of what you would expect. Mm. You'd expect like a normal kind of town with people going about doing their business. Instead, you see it just completely ravaged and changed from what the norm is. And having been someone who's done emergency response and a bunch of other, you know, things of that nature before, I've seen towns that are normally well lived in, and then after like a hurricane or something like that comes in, they're completely deserted.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it reminded me of. It reminded me of just everyday suburban living just completely turned up on its head. Obviously, there weren't people being crucified, but it still sure. gave me that kind of haunting feeling.
Yeah, well, I mean, I live in Florida. I've lived through many hurricanes. I've been through the eye of at least two storms that have gone right over top of where I've lived. I've even gone out during the eye of hurricanes. This was like 20 years ago. And then we had like a window of like, I don't know, 45 minutes or so. And my friends and I were all in a house having a hurricane party, trying to like, you know, make it through the storm. But then when the eye came over us, we got in a pickup truck and we drove around town and just looked at the streets and everything felt, there's that feeling of like, there used to be more trees here. Like, yep. where did all this stuff go? Like, how come I can see the lake now when I couldn't see that lake before? You know, like that feeling of like, this is familiar, but it's not the same. Yeah, totally, mm-hmm. Totally get that. Yeah.
It's a very end of the world feeling.
Yes, yes. All right. So I think we've made it to the end of our list. Anything that we haven't hit? Any other concepts that should make the list that we didn't cover? Anything else out there at all?
Little Lamplight.
Little Lamplight. That did come up. We've talked about Little Lamplight and the psychological horror of that and how creepy that would be and the trauma.
And what about the one in New Vegas where, the NCR troopers were... All that nuclear waste ended up somehow in the fire department.
Searchlight? Camp Searchlight?
So what kind of horror are you thinking this is? Is it something we've covered or is it something new?
There's two. Probably put that as psychological and body.
Yeah, psychological and body would work.
Okay. Okay, I'm thinking, is there another type of horror we haven't covered? Is there anything else on this list of, like, I don't know. I maybe we've hit everything, but I'm sure somebody's listening at home.
Did we cover ethereal or ghosts?
Ethereal and ghosts, I think that kind of fit into folk horror a little bit, but yeah. Okay. Yeah, the ethereal, I mean, demonic horror could be another element.
I was just thinking about the mother from the Child of Adam stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's definitely
that mansion in Nuclear
World. I would label that as there's that, but the mother I would kind of label as more like a cosmic, that's more Lovecraftian-esque.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And Grandchester would probably fit into folklore.
It's folk, yeah. But there's also a ghost element. Also, the girl was supposedly demon possessed according to the parents and all that.
Yeah.
So you got a little bit of demonic horror going on there as well.
Yeah, but it's supposed to be retrofuturistic, based in the mentality of the 60s. So yeah, you know.
Yeah, all of these things overlap a little bit. It feels like the boundaries are not cut and dry, right? Like they all kind of have a little bit of something or a little bit something else. All right. Well, cool. Well, this has been super fun. We've got something else.
Did we cover emotional horror?
Psychological horror? I think emotional. I think we're using psychological emotional horror kind of together. But okay. Yeah, because things that make you feel a certain way and mess up your perception of things. And yeah. But hey, we're going to take a quick transition here. Thank you everybody for joining me. I've got to shout out our newest patrons, which includes some of you. and thank you everybody for your support and all of that. Patreon.com/falloutlorecast. If you want to join us for future chats like this, if you want ad free episodes, and welcome to Jeff's Cast, Cade E, Lauren M, and John S. Thank you for your support and for signing up, and shout outs to Germinator and Dusty Ray, our sentry bots who get shout outs every week. Thanks, Jess. Thanks, both of you. Germinator's here with us. Thank you so much. Don't have any new reviews on Apple Podcasts, but please leave a review. And if I can see it, I'll read it out on a future episode if it's a 5-star review. And thank you everybody for your support with that as well. Also, I wanted to shout out one of the sponsors that has been sponsoring the show for the last month. And guys, if you have a VR headset and you haven't played I Expect You to Die, I know you've probably heard the ads come up. I mean, if you're the patrons, maybe you haven't heard the ads come up. But I mean, it's not a horror game, but the idea of putting on your VR headset and being in a space where you have to like stop the nukes from launching and figure out the puzzles. It's like an escape room, but you're also part of like this spy thing. It's got this retro future sort of thing going on. It's very Fallout-y in that sense, but it's also a lot of fun when you, especially if you play it like I did with my family and you put it up on the screen and like take turns and you all kind of work on stuff together. So go check that out. And they are sponsors just for a little while still, and you can still get 45% off. So if you want to try out I Expect You to Die, go check that out. The code is a little bit long. It'll be in the description of the main show if you want to find it. But if you can remember it, it's Fallout Rising with a capital F and a capital R, Fallout Rising -8904FC, capital F, capital C. So I'll say that again, Fallout Rising -8904FC. So go check that out. I had a blast playing with my family. I think you guys might enjoy it for the holidays. So just wanted to put that out there as we kind of wrap up the show. But there's a bunch of other cool stuff coming. I don't know how many of you are going to be jumping into Fallout 76. We talked about the next expansion, all sorts. I'm excited about that. I'm also picking up Outer Worlds 2. Have you guys played Outer Worlds 2 yet? It just came out today as we're recording this. It's by Obsidian, the people who made New Vegas. And I've heard some very, very good things. I haven't actually gotten into it yet about a lot of the like decisions are very dependent on what you decide. And there's different factions and there's all sorts of like it's way expanded from the first game. So I'm going to be playing this and I would love to have conversations with some of you on our Discord about like what you think about the game and how you're playing it and doing that sort of thing. So those are just some of the things I wanted to throw in there since I've got everybody here with me. But thank you, everybody. All right, let's go back through and thank you for joining me. Feel free to shout out something into the world and tell people how they can follow you or get a hold of you or whatever. And we're going to go through on the screen. Let's start with Void. Void, you got stuff.
Hello.
You got stuff going on.
I have many things going on. My name is Void, or Jeremy Geyser. I run the Dungeons & Dipshits podcast. We have retitled it. It is no longer Dungeons & Dipshits, a D&D podcast. It is now Dungeons & Dipshits Faded Light, because we have another campaign coming sometime early next year. So,
cool.
Be on the lookout for that. Early 2026, probably around February or March. We have another project in the works that is maybe a year or two out, and that one's Fallout-based. So that one's going to be a fun one, and I'm partnering with Logan on that one.
Logan the Pumpkin King.
If I'll let him explain that if he so chooses. That's why I'm being a little cryptic with it. But again, it's 1 or 2 years out. I'm currently designing the map for it, and it's amazing.
Cool. So it'd be like another role-playing thing?
Yeah. It'll still be a TTRPG.
Cool.
Tabletop role-playing game. And I'm not going to say my last thing because I don't know when that's going to come to fruition just yet.
All right. Well, so you just got to hint at it and then tease us with it some more until you're ready to tell people. But
I'm great at teasing. My exes can all tell you that.
Wonderful. But if people want you to tease them in person, where would they, where would they reach you?
In person?
Well, maybe online.
Dating apps.
Maybe online.
But you can always reach me on the Discord, V01D696. Or actually, no, on your Discord, I'm Void/Jeremy, with parentheses around Dungeons and Dipshits. But my DMs are always open if you need to rant. Sorry, I've been going on for a while. Okay. I have a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
So anyway, to Pumpkin.
Thanks, Void. Pumpkin. Go.
Well, yes. Hi, I'm Pumpkin King, or Logan, as you'd know me over on our other show. But yes, I am going to be working. I am going to be working on a Fallout tabletop project. It is still very early on, story wise, anyway, because Jeremy's very far on the map, so that it, I am jealous that he can do that. But it's kind of already been in the works for a while. I was very half-assing it, so now I'm kind of trying to get
you're full-assing it.
Yeah, I'm trying now to get on it to get working on it. It will be, I'm not going to be giving any information just in case it kind of does fall down.
That's fine. Well, tell you what, you've hinted at it. Yeah. Why don't you fill us in maybe next month or whatever? Yeah. And when it's getting close, let us know and then people can check it out.
Yeah. But other than that, you can find me on the Discord. I also run the Dungeons and Dipshits Alive D&D podcast, Blue Sky. Dungeons and Dipshits also has an Instagram, which I think both are on the Discord, I think. Okay. I want to say.
They are not in the Dungeons and Dipshits
not on
channel.
Our Discord thing.
The Blue Sky is in the Blue Sky pack.
Yes.
But they are in the description of all 11 episodes of us.
Yeah. So, and if you want to put it on your channel, just go ahead and I'll just pin it and then people can find it there too. So
cool. Thank you.
Yeah, easy peasy.
I also have my own blue sky at the Pumpkin King. The eyes being ones and the E being a three. You can always find me on there. I try to, it's been a while since I posted, but I want to try and get with that.
So get with that. Yeah. And if you need some seasoning, talk to Void.
Yeah.
There you go. Thanks, Pumpkin.
Okay.
All right, man. Germinator, how can people get a hold of you? And you got anything going on?
Well, I mean, obviously, apart from getting hold of me on Discord, I've actually just started my own business doing mobile laser cleaning.
Wow.
I've got an Instagram page. It's Brightforge Laser, if you want to look it up.
And this is specifically in Australia, or can people send you things across the ocean, or just Australia?
I haven't figured out how to get my truck to float yet.
Yeah.
Once I do, I can do worldwide.
Cool. But if you're in Australia, hit you up for some laser cleaning.
Yep.
Very cool. Pretty much. Awesome. Well, thanks for joining. Good luck with that. That sounds really cool.
Thank you.
Awesome. All right. Ebony Kitty. You got anything going on? How can people reach out?
Discord mostly. Other than that, I want to congratulate the Fallout community for raising so much money on Fallout Day.
Fallout for Hope. Yeah.
Yes. Two, just happy Halloween with it being this Friday.
Yeah, happy Halloween. It's such a fun holiday. Very cool. Well, thanks, Ebony Kitty. All right, Ash. You got anything going on?
No, nothing really going on for me, but, you know, I'm always up to chat in the Discord. You know, same name as here.
Brachio Dreamer Ash, the full yes. name, even though I shortened it.
Yes.
Yeah, so there you go, on the Discord. And thank you for joining us again.
Yeah.
Lil Green. How's it going? How's it going, Lil Green?
Going good.
What's up?
So, well, if you would like... I'm going to promote my same thing every time. My photography. You can look me up on Instagram at littlegreen_photography. I just got a new camera, so I'm going to be using the living hell out of that thing. Yeah, you can find me on the Discord as well. I think I'm just Lil Green over there. Yeah, that's really all I got.
There you go. Lil Green everywhere.
Yeah.
Just a little bit green, but everywhere. That should be your little tagline for your business.
Actually, I was just joking with someone to make my thing. I'm just some schmuck with a camera.
Some schmuck with a camera. Let me take your pictures. That sounds creepy. Okay, cool, man. Thanks. Adam's Child, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's been wonderful. You can find me on the Discord, Robots Radio, at Adam's Child. You can also find me anywhere that you game at GTKing816. And if you want to meet the real me, you can find me on Instagram at _JT_Sims. I do photography, modeling, and acting. So if you want me, come get me.
Man, everybody's out there. You can reach everybody. Awesome. Very cool. Well, thank you for signing up like last minute and joining us for the call.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
St. Geob, you got anything going on? Anything to share?
No, not really. You can find me on the Discord under St. Geob, as it, you know, it's kind of spelled. I'm getting ready to go back in January to start my master's. So just kind of wish me luck in that, I guess.
Nice. Yeah. Good luck. That's a big endeavor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, cool. Well, thanks for taking the time. Leviathan, thank you for joining us as well.
Nice being here. Yeah, I don't own social media, but you can directly ping me on Discord. I'm mostly on at impossible times by your standards, but yeah.
Yeah, well, some people are on. It's, I mean, there's a little bit of crossover, but yeah, totally, totally get it.
I'm from Germany. Yeah. We have 2 a.m. right now. Yeah. 3 a.m.
Yeah, yeah. So if you do it earlier in the day here, then it'll be his afternoon and then it'll work out. Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the nice thing about messages is you can catch up when you get up in the morning.
I work late shifts, so... Yeah. I'm mostly awake and there when everyone else here is sleeping.
Oh, okay. But, well, thanks for staying up late and taking the time.
Yes.
Awesome. And then Polar Mist, you're wrapping it up. You're the last one.
Woo, love being the last one. I'm Polar Mist. You can find me on the Discord, spelled Polar and Mist. I don't really do anything. I kind of just, I'm around. So it's pretty much it. But I'm happy to be here. This is my very first time. Super nervous. I've listened to you, all of y'all talk all the time for podcast after podcast. So just happy to be here.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what do you think now that you've been here? Is it as scary as it was, as you thought it would be?
A little bit. Like, even now, my heart is just thumping because I'm like, y'all are people that I've just listened to for years. And I've just now, like, gotten into Patreon. So it's very nice to be able to start being a part of it now. So
yeah, that's great. I'm glad you decided to join everybody here. I'm glad you decided to join us, especially the new people. But yeah, it's this weird thing where if you listen to people on a podcast, you feel like you really get to know them, but they don't know you. And there's that weird disconnect, right? Like, I can't tell you how many times I'll get a message like, please don't do this to me. And I'm like, my DMs on Discord are not open because of these kinds of reasons. But somebody will just send me a message and just go, hey. Like they're a friend I haven't talked to in 2 weeks and they're just checking in to see what's going on. You know, and I'm like, I don't even know who you are. I don't know if you're a bot. I don't like this is it's so weird. It's so weird. I would be surprised if some of the other people on you know these patron chats get that too. Because people are like, I've listened to you like 15 times now over the last few years and you know, like, hey, what's up? What's going on? It's just so weird. But
yeah.
But thank you, Polar Miss. I hope this was you know, fun and engaging, and that you guys will join us for next month. And I'm sure we'll have some fun things to talk about with the 76 stuff coming out, the season 2 of the show. There's all sorts of fun stuff on the horizon. So good times. But that's going to do it for this week. Thank you, everybody, for joining me. Thank you for the chat, everybody in the chat jumping in for the live stream, twitch.tv/robotsradio. That's where you can get that. And I will be back next week with a regular episode. And if you're listening to this on Halloween, happy Halloween. Go eat a bunch of candy and, you know, have some fun. And we'll see you next time. Bye, everyone. To plug into everything else we're doing, check out robotsradio.net. Reach out to me on Twitter at robots_radio. Check out the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where you can join me and a bunch of our other creators creating your podcast, starting a new podcast, or helping your current podcast grow. There's more information about that on robotsradio.net as well. And you can always talk with us and the entire community, over 2,000 people on the Robots Radio Discord. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you. See you guys next time.